You know, I heard something on the way in, not even really part of my message, but it's something that D.L. Moody said. There are choices in life, whatever your circumstances are, where it's health-related or spiritual-related, heart-related, whatever it is, you have a choice. You can either cry about it or you can cry out to God for it. So I don't know, I just thought I'd share that. Today we're going to talk a little bit about connection and contact. I've touched on this about, I don't know, 13, 14 months ago. Came back to it this weekend. The title of the message is Contact High or Love Connection. Now, as you know, I'm the definition-y guy. So what is contact? Contact is a union or junction of surfaces, the apparent touching or mutual tangency, the junction of two electrical conductors through which a current passes, an establishing of communication with someone, or an observing or receiving of a significant signal from a person or object. So contact simply is this. Contact is one thing touching another thing, or a person touching another person. You know, touching can be verbal, it can be spiritual, it can be physical. A lot like, the man will get this anyway, but I'm going to explain it so we can all understand. In the light switch in your home, that is just a breaker switch. There are two points of contact in that switch, so that when the switch is off, they do not touch. When the switch is flipped on, the two points are brought together and the electricity flows and you have light. That's contact. It is a point of completing a circuit or breaking a circuit. This is a physical contact switch. Verbal contact is just that. It is touching another with words, either words of life or words of death. Now, our Father in heaven has demonstrated the power of the spoken word. As we remember, he spoke the world into existence. The contact or touch of our spoken word is as powerful. The spiritual contact is most commonly seen as prayer, when we bow before our Father and speak to him directly. Now, these definitions are pretty bland, pretty vanilla, but for today, I think the definitions will work just fine. I'm preparing you to receive what's coming, okay? So this, for the visual learners out there, this is contact. Now, there's another word that is commonly used interchangeably with contact. Now, with this other word, there are many distinctions, and there are a few similarities. Now, I'm a stickler for speaking the same language, so we are going to speak the same language today. I'm not sorry for it, so you're just going to have to bear with me in love. The similar but distinctive difference between, or for this different word, is connection. Now, connection is the act of connecting, the state of being connected, such as casual or logical relation or sequence, the connection between two ideas. It's a relation of personal intimacy, as of family ties, coherence, continuity, something that connects, something that links, a means of communication or transport, a set of persons associated together, such as a denomination or a clan. The idea here is that connection is much deeper than contact. The part of the body of Christ, for example, is not simply brushing up against the idea of family. It is being woven into that tapestry as a permanent fixture. This is contact. This is connection. This side of the room. Contact. Connection. You can see there's a big difference. One area of touching being interwoven as part of. The funny thing that happened while I was typing this out, I was holding the shift key while I was typing that last concept. So the concept was, this is contact and this is connection. When I used the comma while in shift, that was a greater than symbol, and I thought it very funny. So it actually read, this is contact, which is less than this is connection. I don't know, kind of funny. Or, if however your mind prefers it, or connection is greater than contact. It's funny how it typed out that way. So, I don't know if they still make it or not. I know I still see it in cartoons. Yes, I watch cartoons. It's called a paddle ball. Are we familiar with the paddle ball? Everyone? No one? Can I see a shaking of heads? Younger generation paddle ball? You know what that is? Okay. Now picture that old paddle ball. I think they still make them. It's a paddle and it's a ball, right? But they are attached. They are tethered, if you will, with an elastic tether. The idea is to see how many times you can hit the ball and as it extends out and comes back and be able to repeat that in sequence. And as many times you can do that in a row. That's the whole challenge of the paddle ball. That ball, tether and paddle, are connected to one another. Doesn't matter how good or bad you are at the game, it's still connected. If you were to remove that tether, you simply have a ball and a paddle. Now, we play table tennis on Wednesdays before we get youth started. And we play King of the Table. It's pretty fun. The ball and paddle do come in contact with one another, but it's only for a brief moment. The only connection they have is the game that's being played. Now, it may seem like some Christian believers sure look a lot like the paddle ball program. There is brief contact, they fly out into the world, and they find their way back for a little more contact. This is true, which makes connection all the more important. And I hope you would agree. The concept of connection is deeply woven into the Bible. Not just a little bit of the Bible, the whole Bible. But sometimes it is necessary to take inventory. And I know that's one of those, I don't know, cliche comments. You got to take that personal inventory. But it's not so much for the good we do or that we have stored up in our hearts. Neither is it the quantity of the bad. Now at work, I'm tasked yearly to do an inventory assessment of parts, supplies, and be able to reconcile those accounts. If anyone's done inventory, they know it's a miserable and not very fun, usually dreaded time of the year. But we need to reconcile those accounts between what is on hand and what has been billed out and to whom it was billed to. Inventory. And what I'm talking about today is not like that at all. What we are to assess is the inquiry of what is important to me. That's the inventory we take today. What is important to me? Now, that is easily determined by measuring of what I have and what I do not possess. We will find today, if we do an honest assessment, that assessment of what we currently hold most dear. And what we may want to do to bring about the needed changes to our lives. See, we will show what is really important to us. What we have, what we want to have, and then that intermediate equation, which is what we're willing to do to get it. Or what we have done to implement the achieving of that goal. That is where the void rests. We all want to make heaven our home. We all want to be good people. But how do those two meet? That's the area of void. And we will know by our actions how valuable that end goal is by that center portion of the equation. Sometimes It is a checkup to see if what we want is in alignment with what we are doing. I recently heard a statement that really articulated the concept for me and made it easy for me for self-motivation, because we need that, right? But not just motivation in thought, but motivation to action. And it's a very simple phrase. It says, what you are not changing, you are choosing. I've used that a ton at work in the last year, because I have a bunch of complainers and gripers, and for crying out loud, they've got it pretty darn easy. All you got to do is do what you signed up to do. Come to work. Fix things in an effective and proficient manner and get it back to the customer. It's not tough. But it's like we have this tendency to grumble. But grumbling never solves the problem. You know what grumbling does? It's an expectation for someone else to take the ball and run with it. Well, if you work for me, you have heard this a million times. I am not going to grow legs on your problem. It's not bothering me one bit. If you don't like it, you change it. If you want something to be better or more effective or more efficient or more fruitful, since it's bothering you, it's on your heart, and only your heart can take it to the finish line. That's not someone else's problem. That's an internal problem. What's beautiful about this problem is we're not alone in dealing with these. If we have a heart issue, we have a God who's given us that heart and is willing to work these things out in tandem. Not taking care of, but working with to work through it. See, we want the genie in a bottle. We want that immediate gratification. It doesn't happen that way. I don't know if you've noticed, it doesn't happen that way. Because there is no value to God fixing your problems unless you work with him through it. Then the value of the problem is exactly what he intended to be there, which is growth on your part. Amen, Larry. Woo! We're in the right place today. That was all free for somebody out there. I knew I should have put this down there. I'm going to keep farting with it if it's up here. So what you are not changing, you are choosing. Here's the thing. If it's not identified, it cannot be changed. Again, we aren't looking at the physical things. Rather, we're to look at the desires of our heart and the commitment to or the energy spent to achieving those desires. Aaron likes to remind me of something I had said once. Desire is a disaster. Referring to desire alone goes nowhere. It will let you down every time, unless it is accompanied by commitment. See, desire is a feeling, and fundamentally, it's a want, and that's all it is. And it's so easily disrupted and distorted by time and environment. However, determination, aka commitment, is a choice. It's a choice made to persevere. And it also needs a boatload of support. The body of Christ is here to help you in that endeavor. Inspiration supported with action. That's true desire and commitment. So where are we on that scale of contact versus connection? In James 1, verse 22, says, But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. This would qualify that you actually are a hearer of the word. I think it means a little bit more than just hearing, because I can hear one of my grade school teachers chewing me out because I was spacing out in class. Did you hear me? Yeah, I did. Well, repeat it back to me. I could not. She goes, see, yeah, you might have been hearing me, but you weren't listening. So actually listening to the word. First, we qualify if you want to listen. Or do you feel you have it all figured out already? Either way, hearing or listening, these are only contact with the word. The devil himself has contact with the word better than most of us. What James is getting at here is the doers are the ones who actually care enough about what the word says that they do something with it. There is a connection, a deep-rooted and meaningful connection. The hearers of the word pump themselves up with perceived understanding, with little to no action, and have no real or good fruit. There is the difference between a hearer of the word and a doer of the word. As Pastor Jim had spoken last Sunday out of Deuteronomy in the 11th chapter, verses 18 and 19, it reads, "Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up." This hearing of the word should produce an action that isn't called upon for special occasions only. You follow me? It's a daily event of speaking of his goodness and of his promises. Not just for the family, people of God, but for everyone. Nothing sown will produce exactly that. Nothing. If you are looking to impress a family member with your faith, allow them to see you demonstrate that faith in sharing outside the family. Sowing does not guarantee fruit will spring forth. Certainly not immediately. That's by God's design. The born fruit is determined by the soil of the heart. We know this. We should move onward as we know that our debt is paid in full. So our mission is our faith to be filled with much more than the basics. The basics is where we start from. And we are not to linger there, new believers and old. If you have received Jesus as Lord and as Savior, no matter when or how long ago that was, today is the day to move forward. It says in Hebrews chapter 6, the first two verses, "Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God. Instruction about baptism, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment." Now, we all know that everyone has their own place in their faith. And they're moving at their own pace in their walk in faith. We do not do comparisons within the body. If you are a newly born Christian, then you are at the newly born Christian level. That is great for now. And Revelation 3:20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me." See, this is the beginning and not the end all. Life continues, and as with all things that live here on earth, there must be growth or the alternative is death. Every living thing on this planet must be growing or it is dying. That's a fact. The minute something stands still, that is the first minute of its death. For you who have been in the pews for years and have heard multiple messages on the same scripture all through the years, this one's for you. 5, 10 or more years, and you're hanging in with the newbies, you know who you are. Are you living in the state of contact still? You know what scripture means, but you haven't given it any attention other than your ears. The author of Hebrews is not suggesting it is time to grow into mature faith. He is directing us to continually move forward, to lock it in, to connect in the fullness of scripture and faith. Truth is, when we get saved for real, there is a contact high. I was so stoked when I first got saved. I mean, I was going to be the perfect Christian. But when you've been around a while, this is the point. It's not about perfection. When you've been around a while, you actually get to demonstrate what you know and live for everyone to see your faith. See, the connection with God the Father, His Son, and the Holy Spirit, contact is great, but it is so easily broken. Connection is tough to sever. This is easy to break. This is very hard. Very hard. I remember, gosh, this has been 100 years ago. Jim was preaching, and he handed out a little strand of rope. Do you remember that, Jim? I still have that strand in my Bible. That little strand of that rope, of that woven rope, is easy to break. But when it's woven together with all the other strands, it's impossible. I just thought of that. Contact is great, but it's easily broken. Connection is tough to sever. In John chapter 10, verses 28 and 29, it says, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. See, are we connected, Christians, who have the assurance of the Father's hand on our lives? As I see it, God does not promise His love alone will save us. If that were true, then we'd all make it, and there is no hell. For that kind of assurance, the one we're looking for, we need to be in the hand of the one who can save us. And sometimes the word can get a little scary. I think it's intentional. It's only scary if we are not sure about where we stand in relationship to God. Are we standing firm in the truth of the gospel? Or have we been a little less than committed to that relationship with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit? In John chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. This is a long one, so don't go to sleep. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Each branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it, so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. From apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. Jesus, being the vine in which we are grafted. The word grafted would seem to be a very similar, if not exact, definition of connection. Once grafted in, you are a permanent part of the whole. The vine is Christ. You are grafted into the vine and adopted into the family tree. You are now part of it. As it says in 1 Corinthians 12:27, it says, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. See, there are no satellite children of God. We are either in or we are out. Now, the Father is the vine dresser, which makes him the ultimate authority and in charge of the well-being and fruit production. I want to touch on the word abide, because it's not a word we use very often, other than when we read it in Scripture, or Pastor Henry, he uses it. The definition of abide is to accept or act in accordance with. So I'm going to reread a section of that. It says, accept and act in accordance in me and I in you. If you accept and act in accordance in me, in my words, accept and act in accordance in you. I know it's a little awkward saying it that way, but it kind of, for me, it puts it in perspective. We can have that contact or we can be connected. And what he's calling us is for us to be connected. If you are not connected, then you are the dry branch. You're the non-fruit producer and you will be removed. So what Jesus is saying here sounds an awful lot like connectivity. And here's another way to look at it. Just because you went to high school with someone, that doesn't mean you are connected. That was just a point of contact. That's all. Just because you work with someone, that doesn't mean you're connected with them. That is your point of contact. Because you attend a church, that does not secure you have a connection with the bridegroom. To move past the contact and move forward into the connection, to be free from the things that bind us and keep us from our potential in Christ, here's the reality: we are made for service. If Christ can serve mankind as he did, how is it then, with his help and his guidance, that we cannot do the same? We'll have the music ministry come up now. I was thinking about keeping you here until one or two, but there's a lot to be covered here. And this is the tough love message that seems so often I give. It's why God uses so many different kinds of preachers, because you need to hear all different ways. But this is the stuff should be challenging. Either there's, you get the choice, just like I said before, you have a choice to cry about it, or you have a choice to cry out to God about it. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths." Amen. We live in a culture of minimalism. We do just enough to get by, and that is a dangerous place to camp. Our God wants every last detail. He wants every last morsel of relationship with you. He requires total and unadulterated vulnerability. And this openness through vulnerability, that will bring the connection. And the connection that he promises cannot be broken. It is up to you and no one else to verify your scorecard today. If you do not have a relationship with the Father, you haven't surrendered to Jesus, or you're simply looking for that new start today, you are in the right place. If you desire to engage in a deeper connection and move past contact, you are in the right place today. If you're looking to change in a positive and legitimate way, you're in the right place today. There is no more important place to be than here right now. To be embraced by the love of God and be strengthened in your walk with him. So if you are here today and you are feeling that tug on your heart, or the stirring that you can't quite explain, if you would, raise your hand. Well, I'm going to be mean, kind of a little mean now, because that's kind of my spirit. So the rest of you got it all figured out. How many want that connection today with God? To be renewed in spirit, to be renewed in your faith, to be renewed in every aspect of your life, be it health, be it mental, be it spiritual, be it knowledge, be it the capacity to understand who your God is. Who wants more of that besides me? That's better. That's better. This is the place to be when we realize that we are not in control. And the minute you can let that control go and let God take over, that is when you'll be the freest you'll ever be. There's a whole lot of criers out there. God's calling for people to cry out. Let's cry out today. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for every blessing, Lord. We cannot possibly begin to understand all that you have done to bring us to this place here today. But we know what you have done to create the promise that you have given us of everlasting life and a place with no more tears, no more fear, no more hatred, no more warring, no more enemies. You promised us a place in your heaven. We thank you for that. Father, help us now. Those that raised their hands and those that did not, I pray the same prayer, Father, that you would open eyes and tenderize hearts, Lord, that you would sensitize our spirits, our souls, that we'd be one with you this day and forevermore. Father, help us grow in our faith. Help us grow in our understanding, Lord. Open our eyes to the revelation of your word and the revelation of your promises, Father. Let us not forget, but embed in us, Lord God, the memories of all the landmarks of what you've done for us. Those moments in life that you've made possible. Let us not forget, but let us, Father, remember in rejoicing and praising your name. Keeper. You are worthy. We thank you again. We pray all this. We have expectant hearts because we know that you are faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, part two. Just kidding. I did want to remind you, though, that there's a difference between contact and connection. I hope that you take that with you wherever you go. We live in a world that is so into immediate gratification, and that's that contact high. I don't know if you've ever been to a revival, if you've ever been to a Bible study. That's very, very rich in spirit. You always come out of there feeling pretty good. I know I do. That's the contact high. But it's funny, on the way home, someone cuts me off in traffic. Right? It happens. Sometimes, if it's at church, I don't even get out of the parking lot. That's the reality. That's the contact high. There's nothing wrong with the contact high, but take that contact and develop connection, because nothing can take that away. And that's the joy that God promises. The joy is knowing that no matter what, he's got you. He's got a plan for you. He has a purpose for you. And you're just going to have to wait until next time I'm up here, because I got a lot more to say, but we'll just wait. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again, we pray your hand upon every family that's represented in this place, Lord. We know that you are faithful in healing and instructing, correcting, Lord God, and directing. We just pray that we are under that, Lord, that you are watching over us as individuals and over our extended family. Give us words for them, Lord God. Give us words for those who we come in contact with, because this is the reason that Jesus came, that there would be one-on-one contact, that people would hear the good news. Father, thank you for that good news. Thank you for your plan. Most of all, thank you for the love that you've demonstrated for us. Be with us now until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.